Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In three striking successive Sundays, we have had Christmas, the celebration of the incarnation of the Son of God in our human flesh, the circumcision and name of Jesus, the feast of that Son of God's being put under the obligation of the divine law as we are under the law, and now the baptism of our Lord, the Son of God's identifying himself with sinners like you and me. Each of those three is a birthday of a sort for Jesus. And so today we consider Jesus's and our baptismal birthdays. With the Epiphany of our Lord on Friday and its visit of the wise men to the child Jesus, we move from the Christmas season to the Epiphany season. There reportedly is a tradition that the visit of the wise men and the baptism of the Lord took place on the same date of the calendar year, only years apart. But regardless of their dates, both events are showing forths of God in the human flesh of Jesus. And in the case of the baptism of our Lord, we also have one of the greatest, if not the greatest, showing forth of the Holy Trinity. To be sure, the divinely inspired St. Matthew's account of the baptism of our Lord, which we heard today as the gospel reading, is more focused on what happened immediately before and immediately after the baptism than the account is focused on the baptism itself. And as we discussed in our adult Bible class on Christmas Day, what happened immediately before the baptism, uniquely recorded by St. Matthew, gives us an answer to the question people often have about why Jesus was baptized at all. John the Baptizer certainly seemed to have had that question about why Jesus was to be baptized. As we heard today, when Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by him, John would have prevented him. As we back in Advent heard St. Matthew tell in the preceding verses, John the Baptizer was preaching repentance and baptizing those who were confessing their sins. Jesus did not need to repent or confess. Instead, as we heard, John confessed his need to be baptized by Jesus. And John essentially asked the question, why sinless Jesus was coming to be baptized by him? And in his first words that St. Matthew's gospel account records, Jesus essentially agreed with John. But Jesus told John to permit Jesus' baptism in order for them to fulfill all righteousness. Arguably both Jesus' righteousness and so also our righteousness. You see, unlike righteous Jesus, but like John the Baptizer, you and I are by nature unrighteous, completely unrighteous. Our sinful nature leads us not to think, say, and do things that we should think, say, and do. And our sinful nature leads us to think, say, and do things that we should not think, say, and do. And thus we sin against our fellow human beings, and more importantly, we sin against God. So apart from repentance and faith, God is not pleased with us, and we deserve not his gracious baptism of forgiveness, but instead we deserve the temporal death and eternal torment of his righteous wrath, from which baptism is intended to deliver us. For God does not want us so to perish, but out of his love, mercy, and grace, God calls and thereby enables us to turn in sorrow from our sin, to trust him to forgive our sin, and to at least want to stop sinning. When we so repent and believe, then God forgives us. God forgives our sinful nature and all our actual sin, whatever our actual sin might be. God forgives us for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, who in his baptism took on our sin and so made our baptisms able to give us his righteousness. On this day of the baptism of our Lord, we do well again to ponder that the Almighty God in the second person of the Holy Trinity took on human flesh at all. That he then took on our sin. And that he then died on the cross in our place. For the baptism was not all that was divinely necessary in order to fulfill all righteousness. Again, his righteousness and our righteousness. Conception, birth, death, resurrection, Jesus actively did all that he needed to do, and he passively suffered all that he needed to suffer, all for us. In keeping with prophecy like that of today's Old Testament reading, in the baptism of our Lord, God the Father both put his Spirit on Jesus and declared his delight in him as his chosen servant, who faithfully brings justice or righteousness to the nations of the earth. As we, with repentance and faith, are in that chosen servant, we are no longer under God's wrath, but we are those with whom God is pleased, and so we have peace with him. As Jesus was passively baptized by John, so we are passive in our baptisms, our conversions. God acts through those whom he calls and ordains to preach his gospel and administer his sacraments. Especially as Jesus identified with us in his baptism, so the divinely inspired St. Paul in today's epistle reading says that in our baptisms, we are connected to him, to Christ's death and resurrection for us. And so under normal circumstances, holy baptism is in some sense necessary for salvation, though not the absence of baptism or any other sacrament itself damns, but one's despising and so not using baptism or any other sacrament damns. At the font, the name of the Holy Trinity is put upon us, and the Lord is present with us as we pass through the water. The Lord is present with us where a penitent and pastor are gathered for private confession and individual absolution in that same triune name. And the Lord especially is with us in the sacrament of the altar, with bread that is Christ's body and wine that is Christ's blood, which then also give us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Like Jesus, we are baptized once, but that one baptism affects our whole lives. Daily, by contrition and repentance, our sinful nature is drowned and dies with all sins and evil desires. And daily, our redeemed nature emerges and arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As we heard in the epistle reading, we walk in newness of life, including when we know and feel sins in our heart, seeking individual absolution and regularly receiving the sacrament of the altar. And so we have peace and joy. As we prayed in the collect of the day, the Father makes all those who are baptized in Jesus' name faithful in their callings as God's children and inheritors with Jesus of everlasting life. As heaven was opened to Jesus and the Father spoke to him, in a similar manner, heaven is open to us and the Father speaks to us. And on the last day, our baptized bodies are brought into his nearer presence and thereby glorified for eternity with him. And until then, we remember our baptisms and live in them. Do you know the date of your baptism? What, for example, in our frequent petitions of the prayer of the church, we call your baptismal birthday? Mine is 5 days after my physical birthday. Today, we have considered Jesus's and our baptismal birthdays. In Jesus's baptism, he took on our sin, so that in our baptisms, we can take on his righteousness. Not only on the day that we associate with the baptism of our Lord, or on our own baptismal birthdays, do we remember him and his and our baptisms, but anytime we are gathered or are blessed in the triune name, we remember our baptisms and we trace the sign of the cross once traced on our foreheads and hearts in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.